This reading is from Psalm 133, reading verses 1 to 3. How wonderful it is, how pleasant, for God's people to live together in harmony. It is like the precious anointing oil running down from Aaron's head and beard, down to the collar of his robes. It is like the dew on Mount Hermon, falling on the hills of Zion. That is where the Lord has promised his blessing, life that never ends. Amen.
My extended family are spread pretty much across the UK. So there's me in the promised land of the Midlands, but others are scattered far and wide, some south, some north, east, and west. And I know many of you have extended families, and your extended families are spread even further than mine are, across different nations, across continents. Being spread out means that we don't often meet up, and we can go quite a few years before all meeting together. And sometimes when we do meet together, it's more often to do with a family function like a wedding or a funeral that brings us together. My dad's side of the family are all pretty posh. And I know they're posh because they do that cheek-to-cheek kind of thing when you meet people. And it's kind of moi, moi. And every time I anticipate getting together with the family, I immediately start trying to work out, is it one moi, or is it moi, moi? Last time, was it moi, moi, moi? And do you moi on the left first, or do you moi on the right first, and then go backwards and forwards? And it creates a little bit of anxiety in me, thinking, how's this going to work? And on one occasion, we all met as a family for a funeral. And on this particular occasion, we all seemed to arrive at the crematorium car park pretty much at the same time. We all parked our cars, and we all seemed to get out of the cars pretty much together. There was then probably about 30 or so of us as extended family, all descending, gravitating towards each other. And all I can say is there was a moi, moi, moi fest. It was chaos, utter, utter chaos. There were mois going over here, and there's moi going over there, there's moi, moi, moi going on, and all sorts of stuff. And I came away about 3 minutes later feeling slightly shell-shocked, bits of lipstick and saliva on my cheeks, and also thinking, I wonder what the maths of that was. How many mois were then launched during in the space of that 2 or 3 minute frenzy in that car park? And the thing is, as a family, on that particular side, they're all quite mixed in some ways. I mean, there's a consultant surgeon, there's a dentist, there's a care assistant, there's an IT consultant, there's an Ofsted inspector, there's an art dealer, management consultant, there's a futures trader, there's property, and then there's me. And they're always asking me these strange questions. They don't quite know what to ask me. Like, they don't quite know what you're supposed to say to a minister. And it's comical, really. We're all very different. We're all very spread out. And yet it somehow feels good when we're all together. In anticipation of all getting together, I don't always feel a great elation, because there's a bit of a social anxiety that comes with meeting up. But every time I come away having met up, I always feel more enriched, better for having been together with this extended family. And I guess in some ways, King David felt the same. Because Israel felt most together when people and the different tribes of people, groups of people, all converged on Jerusalem for the big festivals. They might have been spread out in all different corners of Israel, but every so often they would all gravitate back together for the big festivals all together. And so David, King David, would remind people of the importance of being together. So he says this, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. I wonder if we were to summarize what church life is like. I wonder what words we would use. How good and how pleasant it is when people dwell together in unity. And what this is one of the things I've loved about being part of Chester Road now, is that sense of joy as people gather together, that sense of belonging, the sense of excitement as people catch up with one another, a sense of togetherness. We could, of course, we all have heard horror stories, some of them apocryphal, about what goes on in certain churches and certain types of church meetings and so forth. And we're simply glad that that's not been our experience too. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. And we say yes and amen to that. When they live together in unity. I don't think that necessarily means that we all need to kind of move out of our homes and all move in together. I don't think we're necessarily thinking about the Chester Road commune as being the way forward. Let's bring in the bunk beds into the primary room or the tin tab. I don't think it's that kind of live together. But I think it is talking about a dwelling, a communion together, a sense of relationship together that goes beyond we sit on the same pew together, or goes beyond we attend the same small group together. A sense of actually having a shared interest in one another's lives, praying for one another, encouraging one another, blessing one another. It talks about a quality of relationship, a quality of community. And we've set ourselves an ambition of being a growing community. Yes, about growth, spiritually, numerically, but also about the depth of our relationships together in community. That actually people see something of the kingdom of heaven by looking at the quality of how we relate together, how we like one another, how we connect well with each other. The only other time when the phrase, when brothers live together in unity, comes in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5. And here, rather than leave home, sons would often continue to live together in the parents' house, the father's house. And if they were to get married, well, they would bring their wife into that family too, into that home, and the household would get bigger and bigger. And sometimes the family home would then have a bolt on, an extra bit of building added to the side for this extra family that's brought in. And if one of the brothers died without having had a son, then it was the responsibility of one of the other brothers to marry the widow. That's because it was so important to maintain the family name, just to maintain the unity of the family, to be able to pass on the family name to the next generation. Now, at one level, we might say that this is all about the blessing that comes with being part of a family, an extended family maybe of uncles and aunts and grandparents and grandchildren on wherever. And as supportive and as considerate and together and good that is, maybe there's also a deeper level that it's about the unity experienced by strangers who journey perhaps to a festival, strangers who find themselves journeying together, people that haven't necessarily chosen to be together, but through circumstances, through shared journey, find themselves brought together. I've just this week had opportunity to spend time again at the Northumbria community up in Northumberland. fabulous. Every time I go, I never know who's going to be in the community. I know some of the community members, the long-term members, but there are always other members of the community who are perhaps staying there for a few weeks or a few months, and I don't know who they will be. And I definitely don't know who the travellers will be, like me, those who have come for a very short stay. And the first evening, we'll always sit round together and with introductions. And they're kind of looking around the room, trying to see who's here and where they've come from and what their background is and what their story might be. Don't know anything about them at that point. But remarkably, 3 or 4 days later, you feel you've got such an affinity with them. You've got things in common. And there's almost like a shared language, a shared kind of human that goes with it, and a sense of identity. So at a deeper level, this sense of unity comes when even strangers find themselves joined together. As Christians, we find our unity in Christ. That's what unites us all here together. It's not our taste in music. It's not our taste in fashions. It's not our taste in football clubs or anything else. It's our devotion to Christ. It's that we are in Christ. And because you are in Christ and you are in Christ and you are definitely in Christ, we together are in Christ, we find unity. That's what we're linked into. Now, if I am a child of God and you are a child of God, the same God, then in Christ, guess what? We're brothers and sisters. We aren't simply members of the church together. We aren't simply those who sit in the same pew together or attend the same small groups together. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a real depth to that. We might not get to choose who our earthly brothers and sisters are. At least most of us don't get to choose that. We just find ourselves, that's our extended family. In the same way, we might say we don't get to choose who our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are. We just find ourselves together. But in Christ, wow, we are family. And there's a unity and a richness and a goodness that comes with that. And as ever with any family, some may be richer, some may be poorer. Some may shave their hair, dye their hair, have no hair. They may like our traditions and rituals, or they may have their own rituals and traditions, even those that we don't like. Some of our siblings in Christ are different to us. They might have a different aroma. They might have different addictions or struggles to us. They are still brothers and sisters in Christ. They are brothers and sisters in Christ. They are brothers and sisters for us, not because they look like us, not because they sound like us or even taste like us, but because they are in Christ. We share a spiritual DNA, irrefutable. And there's a goodness and a unity and a pleasantness that comes with that. Of course, some families, physical families, drift, they fragment. Perhaps strain leads to disputes and disputes to absence. Christ comes to reconcile the whole of humanity back to God. So that reconciliation, restoring people back into relationship, becomes a key feature of Christian faith and therefore also of the Christian church. See how they love one another. It communicates volumes. Amazing. It's often so encouraging to hear people from outside the church when they come into contact with Christians and they come into contact with church groups remarking how wonderful it is. We've had we run Alpha, as you know, every term. This particular term's Alpha has been really interesting because of the high number of people who have been on this Alpha course who don't come from a Chester Road background. They're from outside the church. It's been so encouraging to hear some of them say they came on a Sunday just to see what we were like, and they were bowled over by the welcome, the sense of friendliness and how they felt included. They came with perhaps with a bit of in trepidation. A bit like me. Well, do they do moi, all that kind of stuff? What will they do? Will I have to stand, sit, kneel? And they were just loved and accepted by you. Fabulous. Speaks volumes. And then David says, it's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robe. Oil, extravagant, fragrant, and here, clearly plentiful, well used. It's precious oil, not cheap stuff. It's precious. It's the best oil, and it's definitely lots of it. Considerable amounts. Precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard. We've heard this before. Where have we heard this before? Psalm 23, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The woman who anointed Jesus' feet, Jesus said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil upon my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. Again, at one level, we may say this is about hospitality, a reminder that it was custom to honor your guest by administering oil. Perhaps, as we've been reminded this morning in Chad, traveling in a hot, dusty, sandy, desert-like conditions, the skin becomes dry. And so it was hospitable to provide your guests who have traveled far with oil so they might soften up the skin, repair the skin. This is the best oil and plenty of it, generous, holding nothing back. But at a deeper level, Aaron, well, he's a priest, and he presides in Jerusalem, Zion. He and the priests, well, they point to and they mediate the presence of God. Where is God? God is over there, they say, in Jerusalem, and the priests are able to mediate between God and his creation. We now have the great high priest in Jesus Christ, no longer needing the priests of individuals to mediate between you and God. You don't need even me. You have a direct relationship, a direct access to God through the priest, Jesus Christ. And that priest, the great high priest, said, I have come to give you life, and life in all its abundance and all its fullness. It's as if the dew on Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Mount Hermon, the highest mountain in Israel, snow-capped, melting snow, feeding the rivers that poured water to other parts of Israel. Jerusalem gets water. Where from? It comes from the mountains as the snow melts. It blesses. And the unity that we experience in Christ is good and pleasant, not just for us, but it flows out to all. It flows out beyond us to bless. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. If you bestow something, you are giving it. And there's a lot of giving and a lot of kind of downward giving here. God is passing down his blessing. Oil is poured down the beard, down Aaron's beard, down the collar of his robe. Dew flows down the Mount Hermon to Jerusalem to Zion. The blessing comes down to us from God. When we are together, we experience the goodness and the pleasantness because it's a blessing that comes from God. We're experiencing something of this new community, this new humanity, glimpses of heaven on earth. And we might say, well, is this possible? Is it really possible? Well, Jesus said, my prayer is not for them alone. In John chapter 17, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, just as you are in me and I am in you. Jesus prayed for the unity of his people. And we can be fairly certain that if anybody was going to have their prayer answered, it would be Jesus. Jesus prays for the unity of his people. And we can be encouraged and blessed that Jesus continues to intercede on our behalf, praying blessing and unity for us. And when we talk about unity, we shouldn't think that means necessarily we all have to think the same. That's not unity. But it is about being united in heart, united in respect and acceptance, recognizing that we are one in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is praying for unity. His prayers then must be answered. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So unity then is a witness also to those outside of the church. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. The ultimate unity, of course, is found not in the church. It's found in God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What a unity of one in the Godhead. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in mutual submission to one another, in mutual respect for one another, in love and adoration, encouragement and blessing. So the Trinity becomes our model, our inspiration and our source of unity. And we imitate God when we imitate the unity that is found in the Godhead. When we express our unity together in our common purpose, united by Christ, and we experience that goodness, and we say it is pleasant. It's a funny word, pleasant, isn't it? It feels quite quaint at times. I suspect it has an awful lot deeper richness than it might sound in the English language. How wonderful, how truly amazing, how remarkable, how countercultural, how prophetic it is when brothers and sisters live together, dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commands his blessing. May God command his blessing on us as we live this out together in the name of Jesus. Amen.